Hello and welcome to Roma Habits Podcast, Season 4, Episode 80. We are Char and maybe... Can I change my name to Ray?
E-Ray?
I want to be known as Ray from now on. Ray is cool.
Greece? Because you go from one point to infinitely extending in a direction.
Like a ray of sunshine. We are here to talk about Roma. And like Roma, we are we might actually go completely bipolar and just be smart about one thing and then very incredibly stupid about the other thing. We might say some things very clearly and then stutter and get all tongue twisted on the next thing. You don't know. But yeah, that's basically fucking shitty ass Roma, who one day are good, the next day are complete garbage. Why? Because our coach is doing some stuff. And yeah, we have drama. We have losses. We have wins. We have
no draws.
Masara is trash. We have no draws. Masara is trash, and Gasperini is trash, and all of our team is trash, and the owners are trash, and also everybody is amazing, and also good job to Masara for bringing in two players.
Within 24 hours of each other.
Things. Yeah. And also getting rejected for a third. So if Tottenham not being weird, I also got hiccups. And also we got the worst news of all time. I don't know if you've seen it. Pellegrini's back, so I'm not watching the next game because you just know Pellegrini is going to be starting, and people are going to be saying shit like, I would rather have an 18-year-old who has never played a game in Italy to start over Pellegrini, and you would be like, that's stupid, and also correct.
I would rather have a 16-year-old who has 10 minutes of experience start over Pellegrini.
Oh my god, 16. He's 16, and he's Australian from Italy. No, Italian from Australia. One of those. Where do you want to start? Where do you want to begin? Do you want to start with FFP?
Why do you do this with me?
Who do you think is going to get sold first? Matias Sule, Manu Kone, Evan Dika, Wesley, or somebody else?
Yes, all of the above. Next question.
And... why did Trump ban all of Balkans
we don't
from
talk
getting
about this.
Visas, except Serbia?
I saw that. I was really... and Bosnia, too, I guess. Bosnia's not... Bosnia's
no,
not...
No, Bosnia good banned. Bosnia good banned. Montenegro good banned. Macedonia good banned. And then Serbia's fine? Albania good banned, and Kosovo as well. It's like, what?
Well, yeah, it's Albania. What?
Why is Serbia fine? Albanians may or may not smuggle drugs. You don't know. And Serbs may or may not smuggle genocide. You don't know.
But is it? I am Albanian virus due to low technology. Please insert on your computer and spread to all your friends.
Sure. And my friends yesterday posted a picture that I'm trying to find. What? Hang on. Learn cyberbullying in Bulgarian online in 4 weeks. And I just thought, I want to think this is a meme, but I don't know. It's the Balkans. I just don't know. It looks real. It looks exactly what a cyberbullying ad would be like. I don't know. So yeah. We got... where do we want to start? We want to start with the latest game, I guess, Roma has played.
Sassuolo.
In Serie A, at least. And it was very, very, very interesting. What are your memories of reading comments? Because I don't think you watched that game live.
No, I had to work. The comments, it was like a really boring first half. Just... absolute snooze fest. Couldn't get anything going.
Have you ever seen The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy, the cartoon?
A few of them.
There's one episode where they're going fishing and everyone's like, no, Billy, you cannot go because all you're going to do is moan that you're bored. And he's like, no, I want to go. Classic Billy. And then the next scene is like them sitting on a lake and just Billy going, moan.
No, Billy, you don't watch Roma because all you got to do is complain that you're bored. No, I won't. Okay, fine. Goes to Stadio Olimpico.
Why did I do this to myself? Why are we watching this team anymore? It's boring. There's nothing happening. Well, yeah. It was an interesting one where Roma had to start, who was it, Pisili and Kone with Tsimikas and Chalik, I want to say.
Yes.
Or was it? Yeah.
Yes. Gilardi, Mancini, Hermoso in the back, Tsimikas, Kone, Pisili, and Celik. Sule behind Ferguson and Dybala.
No. It was, wait.
Yes. Because I'm looking right at the lineup.
Mancini and Hermoso were banned from that game, no?
Sassuolo, no. That was the Cristante ban.
Now I'm confused. Hang on.
Good. Stay confused. And I know what I'm talking about.
What was the game where Mancini and Hermoso couldn't play, so we had Gilardi?
That was Atalanta. No, Lecce. It was Lecce.
Wow. Okay. We've had like 10 games in the last 15 days. So, Zhukovsky came on late. Okay, good. So, sorry. It was a weird lineup that did not look promising. And Pisili was starting because Cristante was banned, as you said, so we couldn't. We had no excuse anymore. Gasperini was like, I'm trying to find a way to play with just one midfielder. I don't think it can work with only Kone and Celik and Tsimikas in the midfield. So let's add Pisili. Fuck it. We're going to give him a start. And then in the first half, everybody was whining that we looked horrible and terrible and bad and blah, blah, blah. And do you know why that is?
Why we look bad and horrible?
45-year-old Nemanja fucking Matic destroyed us. Holy shit.
Hey, we should sign that guy.
I slammed my table and across the room, pans fall out of my closet.
Your house is haunted.
Or I'm stronger than I look. Yeah, we should. I don't think he would play with us again. But so in the first half, Nemanja Matic was controlling the game and he was very much tackling Dybala every chance he could. And you can tell they were trying to hide smirks and smiles and shit, but like they're both competitors. They both know what they're doing, but like they were best friends when they were in Roma together. So you can tell that like there was, it's like, you know, younger brother meets older brother on a battlefield and they're like, haha, I'm going to go extra hard on you. But like they didn't like, you know, fight or argue and I think they didn't get in each other's face. They were just like, fuck, don't go near him. It's too funny. But most importantly, Pisili just got stomped by Matic. Matic was just destroying Pisili. And what Sassuolo did, they overloaded the left side where Sule, Kone, Celik were. Dybala ended up on the... Sorry, Sassuolo's left, our right. So Dybala ended up on that right side as well a lot. And their defense was just set up really, really well. Ismail, Kone, and Lauriente kept running through their left and kept causing us some issues. Had a few runs at our goal. Svilar was amazing, as usual. And Kone... In the first half, Kone was standing. Like, he is bad
our
when
Kone
he plays
or
like
their Cristante. Kone?
Our Kone. Good point. In the first half, Kone was so static that when, like, you're bad when you play next to Cristante and Pellegrini, but playing next to Pisili should unlock you and you should just move around because Pisili is just looking forward and to pass the ball forward. Kone was literally fucking standing. I would be surprised if somebody told me that he covered 1 kilometer in the first half. Like, I would be shocked because I remember rewatching that game just the first half just to watch Kone and he was, whoo, that is a guy who does not want to play anymore. And I was hard on him in the game thread on Chiesa Ridotti, shout out, but somebody said, I think it was maybe one of the writers on Chiesa, that Koné must be exhausted because he keeps playing every single game, and he, to this point, he's bored. And like, you know, it's hard to find motivation when you just keep doing the same thing over and over again. Which, yeah, I'm sorry that somebody's paid millions to do their job once every 4 days, but, you know. And yeah, that's, like, sure, it takes a lot of physical exertion and shit, but still. I get it. Kona did not look very interested. However, the key point of the first half was that Celik had his worst game I've ever seen from at least him. At least him. There are some other players who had terrible first halves, but do you remember you asking me what's going on in the game? And I was just like, Celik, bad pass. Celik just tried something, gave him the ball away. Just Celik nonstop. For the first 25 minutes, I was just saying, Celik lost the ball again. That was fucking horrible. So do we throw Celik into the fire pit of Trigoria?
I think he's being played out of position. He's more like a right center back than a right wing back. It's funny because it says accurate crosses for Celik, 1 of 5 for 20%. Accurate long balls, 0. Accurate passes, 51 of 62.
Back passes, okay. Mainly.
Hold on a minute. Let me see if I can find who I was using yesterday.
He kept trying to do stuff, and it was just absolutely awful. Like, the ball may have ended up in our player's possession, but then he would just put them in a really bad situation, that type of thing. Where, like, he didn't cause the turnover, but he caused the turnover. Like, he didn't make the turnover, but he caused it, if that makes sense. Certainly way more sense than the first version of that. And then Tsimikas was even worse. Because he had the ball like 4 times and he lost it each time. It was like, what are you doing? How did you play for Liverpool? How is this a thing? How are you a professional player? It was awful. Just absolutely awful. Both of our center, fullbacks, wingbacks, whatever, kept wasting possession after possession. And it was just horrible. So that kind of took away attention from Koné, who, again, I'm going to say it the nicest way possible I can about him. When the team sucks, Koné is not very interested in fixing anything. Let's put it that way. Like, when Pellegrini is on and he's doing his bullshit, Koné is just kind of like staring at him like, this is who I have to share the pitch with? Like, really? So, yeah, I don't know. So, basically, kind of nothing happened in the first half. And people were complaining about Gasperini's lineup choice. So tell me, what do you think he should have done something different? Do you agree with these lineups? What is your take?
My take is, like, who really do you want to go see out there in the lineup? You have not a whole lot of options for the lineup, because you have, at the time of the Sassuolo game, Ndika and Niall were out due to AFCON. Pellegrini was out for injury. You had Pellegrini, Cristante suspended. Dovbyk, I think. Was this? No, Dovbyk came in, right? Because he had another injury.
Dovbyk came in for.
No, he was out at that time. Because it was the Lecce, it was the Lecce game that he scored.
Why do I keep thinking of the Lecce game?
Dovbyk was out. Let's see. So Pellegrini was out. Leon Bailey was out. Baldanzi's out. Cristante suspended. Dovbyk's out. Wesley was out for the flu. Like, what do you want to change in that lineup? What do you want to do? Call it a loss? Chalk it up to a loss and go play, like, the youth?
Sorry, we don't have enough players for this match. We're just going to 3-0. It's fine. Just default us.
Yeah, you had Angelino was on the bench. Mohamed Ba and Antonio Arena were on the bench. Jacopo Mira, okay, I don't know who that is. You had Alessandro Romano come in. Zielkowski come in. Those two came in for a two-minute cameo. Divine Wrench came in. Wesley came in the 63rd minute. So, like, what do you want to do in that lineup? Wesley's coming back off the flu. You want to really start him and, like, tire him out? I'd rather use him as a super sub at that point. Yeah. Stefan El-Shaarawy came off the bench in the 39th minute due to Evan Ferguson busting his ass. So, like, what do you want to change in that lineup? There's nothing to change. That's, like, the ultimate Roma bare-bones lineup. We don't
so many people. I'm sorry, finish your thought.
We don't... it's going to come up later in the thing, but Roma doesn't have, like, an alternative lineup or a third lineup to roll out. It's, like, one and a half lineups.
Where is Angelino? Why is he dead? Is he a zombie? Are we ever going to see him play for Roma again?
I'm pretty sure they're doing, like... what is it? Weekend at, is it Ferris Bueller's Day Off or Weekend at Bernie's, where they have
Weekend at Barney's?
Yeah, Weekend at Bernie's. So they're just like half him out on the bench. Hey, I'm still here. So
the broadcast director is on a walkie-talkie with fucking the Roma coaching staff, and they're like, "Hey, we gotta show him in 5 seconds. Okay, get ready, get the strings."
Weekend at Angelino's.
Give us a wave. No, that's the wrong string. It's a leg.
I don't see why people are complaining about the lineup. Gasperini gave a decent lineup, and I thought the substitutions that were made when they were made were key and essential, and I think he got it right in that game.
It does feel like that. It does feel like Wesley came on and there was just an instant shift. I don't know. Like, I had a thought and I posted it and then people disagree with us that Gasperini is just trying to save the subs for the second half and try to kind of exhaust the solo. Because when that game ended, our players were just like, they looked like they could run forever. And Sassuolo did not. Sassuolo were fucking exhausted. They were just tired. Like, we didn't really threaten them that much, but we still controlled the game. Like, they couldn't get out of their half. They kept trying to run sprints and kept trying to... counters on sprints. Kept, like, sprinting on the counters. And it was just like, what can you do? What are you supposed to do as Sassuolo? And, like, you cannot even get out of your own half properly to, like, hold possession. Second half begins, Wesley comes on, and then suddenly Roma is just insane and attacking through Wesley and doing nothing but attacking through Wesley, and one possession he's running and second possession he's running and third possession he's running, and Sassuolo are just like, we have to fucking adjust to this, he's gonna score a goal. And of course, the moment they adjust, that's where you see the Gasperini masterclass of management. And by the way, remember that I said that for later. Where suddenly Matic is no longer surrounded by Sassuolo players and they're all able to swarm Sole and Dybala and Kone. No, now it's just Matic alone against everybody. And suddenly Dybala is the one tackling Matic, stealing the ball away from him. And Matic has to foul Dybala all the time to just avoid losing possession. And he's no longer controlling the game. He's alone. That's it. But nothing to do. And they just completely lost control. Like, Roma regained control of the game. Rather, not regained, but took control of the game entirely. And that was it. Like, they just couldn't do anything anymore. Like, I don't think Wesley was a factor at all in the first half. Or in the second half, aside from a couple of those runs. But Sassuolo had to adjust to him. Like, they put many players on him, and that's it. Like, Roma's attack is completely free to roam, do whatever the hell they want. So... great sub. It was just funny because in the moment, everyone was spamming, get Rensch on the pitch, get Wesley on the pitch, come on, we need Tsimikas out. And Gasperini thought the same thing. He wanted to put Wesley and Rensch on at the same time, and then only Wesley comes in. And Rensch went to the bench when the camera cut away, and everyone thought that Roma had used 6 subs and that we're going to lose because fucking... Wrench that never came on anyway. So
pull the old Fonseca.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, they just used 6 subs. And I was like, I think there's a rule that, like, if you use a sub in the first half, and you can register it as a injury so that it's not, like, whatever. Like, I don't know. I'm pretty sure we did. And then I was like, hang on a minute. Who came on? And you just see only Wesley and nobody else. It's like, how does only Wesley in the game? What is happening? And yeah, that was just basically Gasperini saying, I want to see what happens. I want to just adjust to this, and that's it. I don't want to over adjust. And he lets the Swallow try to adapt to Wesley. That's it. It's just masterclass. Perfect. Absolutely fucking perfect. When we scored 2 goals, it was Sula assist, Sula goal, and that was absolutely fantastic run from Kone. Like, that's when Kone woke up. Second half, he looked way better than in the first half. He was actually running and stomping and doing shit. Pisili the entire time was just distributing the ball, pushing forward, intercepting them, pressing Sassuolo in their own half. Fantastic from our midfield. Like, that was really, really good. I still would prefer Pisili Elanaui lineup. Then Kone, I don't know, something about Elanaui is just, I like that he's so engaged in defense. What's your preferred starting lineup of all the a midfield lineup, at least of the 4 midfielders we have?
Well, I'm not in charge, so I think that Kone and Niall should start against, let's say, the top half of the table. I would say Pisili and either Niall or Kone, depending on who is more match fit against the bottom half. And somebody else should work on, they said they wanted to try coaching someday, so they should start working as a player coach. And just stick to the coach aspect of that.
Who, Dybala?
No, somebody else.
What? De Rossi?
No, number 4.
Oh my god, no, he didn't. Did he?
Yeah, he had an interview and he said he wanted to try his hand at coaching, maybe.
You read Cristante's interviews?
There was nothing else to read that day, I was bored.
There's absolutely no way I would ever read Cristante's interviews. It just sounds dunk shit.
I want to see what goes through the mind of one that is so mindless.
Tell us what goes through the mind of Jedi Master Brian Cristante.
Inner peace.
But I thought you said her peace.
Well, there's something rotting away in the brain, a couple pockets of something, so.
Right.
No, but I would start Pisili in the lower matches, and I would have like Niall and Kone in the top half.
I wouldn't.
So, no,
I just don't like Kone at all. I don't like if we can find somebody who's like Pisili but stronger and bigger, I'd be okay with that. I just don't like that Kone does not put any forward passes in and he cannot shoot. Pisili cannot shoot either. Like, well, I mean,
Pisili tries.
But Kone's shots are just like, what are you doing? How are you a professional football player if this is your shot? Like, I don't know, man. That is so fucking weird. I just generally don't like Kone. His attitude and the way he plays, the way he just walks about completely nonchalant. I don't know. But then again, you look at him, and even when he's lazy, he's just like focused and laser focused in the corners, just zeroed in on doing his duties. But like, then it's all about the effort with you? Or do you just not do this consistently? Or I don't know. I feel like I'm wasting so much time thinking about the player who doesn't run around. I don't know. I just don't like it. Elanaui and Pisili always try to make themselves available for a pass, always try to push the ball forward, be it by carrying it or by passing it. I like that. That's the type of midfielders that I'm used to, that they grew up with. That's the definition of a midfielder. I don't understand what these two are doing, Cristante and Kone. I even went as far as to say the difference between Cristante and Kone is melanin, so I don't know.
Yeesh, your inner Balkan showing.
I don't know, man. Like, they both don't participate in defense. They're both traffic cones. They both just kind of jog around. No matter what's happening, the urgency doesn't exist. There's just zero urgency. Like, Pisili is slow, but he fucking sprints back on defense to try to defend. I think it's against Sassuolo. He had two moments where he intervened in our box, and he was, like, the second last man in defense. You look at Kone, and, yeah. And look at Kone, and Kone is just, like, sitting at the center field. Like, you're not a fucking striker, bro. Just go back. Come on. Same thing with Cristante.
Tell me who you think this is. Three defensive contributions, three tackles, one, no interceptions, no clearance, no block shots, two recoveries, 14 ground duels, nine of them won, one aerial duel, not one, committed four fouls, was dribbled past zero times.
You know what the only thing that I take from that? Zero aerial duels won. I don't know what any of those other stats really are supposed to say, or show, or portray. Or paint. I think that is Conor Gallagher.
That is Manu Kone against Sassuolo.
Yeah. What can you do? I don't know.
Your boy had three defensive contributions, no tackles, two interceptions, one clearance, no block shots, six recoveries, six ground duels, one of them won. One aerial duel, not one, and was dribbled past three times.
Yeah. I like the six tackles thing. Or like 0-1. I'm pretty sure that's the wrong stat, but okay. I don't like stats. As I was about to say, I don't like stats. I just... something's off with them. The way they're measured is just blah. The contributions is not shown. There is no context. I genuinely don't like stats. Like, the only stats in football that I like are very obscure shit that doesn't really, like, show that much anyway, but it still paints a picture, I guess. For example, the conversion rate of a striker. Like, I don't mind conversion rate of a striker being at 0.3, for example, because that's normal. That's average for any forwards, and the most elite forwards are at 0.3. Like, the best ones in the world are at 0.4, and they're the ones that score, like, 45 goals a season. So, that type of stats. Or stats that show the amount of saves made by a goalkeeper, which, like, I don't see it as a goalkeeper being good, but, like, how many shots a team concedes, for example, and that means that the defense is bad. So, yeah, I don't know. I just don't like stats. It doesn't say anything. I don't know. What is dribbled past three times or six times?
It means he was dribbled. He went to go defend and was dribbled past. Like,
but I get what it means. But it doesn't say anything because there was a time where Mancini and Karsdorp were a defense, right? Mancini would get dribbled past like nine times a game. And that was the whole fucking strategy because Karsdorp was the one covering. Like, Mancini would turn in a way that you have to go around him. Like, you just have to go around him to the left, to your left, to Mancini's right. And Karsdorp was just, like, overlap behind him and take over, and that's it. Is that dribble past? I don't know. It's just the way you play. Maybe if a player is supposed to get dribble past, maybe not. I don't know. I genuinely don't know how that works. I don't know what the strategies are. I don't know what it involves. I just don't like stats. When somebody says Cristante's dribbled past three times, you know how that happens. You know exactly how that happens. You know it happens because he leaves his man behind. He leaves his man behind and then he tries to catch up with him and then they just kind of dribble around him and go into the middle and then middle is wide open. Because he does that every single game. I don't know what that means for Kone. Context matters. I hate stats. I don't know. I'm ranting about nothing. Second half, as I said, Wesley comes on, provides opportunities for whole team by just opening up the game. Somebody said he's crack cocaine to our team. Absolutely is. Because the moment he came on, everybody looked more lively and faster and quicker. And how did we go from Celik being complete fucking dog shit to Celik just being crucial in both of the goals we scored?
There's two goals, right?
two goals. I wrote to you. The first two passes, Charlie completed. We scored.
Well, you know what they say, right? Even a broken chalice is right twice a day.
Final thoughts. It was one of the most Gasperini games we've ever seen from Gasperini at Roma, anyway. Maybe top two or top three, because not only did El Shaarawy have to come on for Ferguson, who was injured very early in the game, but we kind of played that fluid front line where everyone's like, who's playing striker? Nobody. I don't know. Everyone's playing striker. We have three forwards. We have Sule, Dybala, and El Shaarawy just kind of standing around and running around and zooming around and switching. So, whatever. Whoever gets in a better position. It was just fluid. And the game ended with Roma pushing and El Shaarawy trying to score twice in the last 2 minutes, I think. And he lobbed it over the keeper as well. And it was like, they really want to score more. They just look like they could have played forever. Which is how Atalanta used to look. That's it. So, before we move on to the next match, which was the Coppa Italia. Shout out to everybody who thought that Ferguson was faking his injury. That's all I have to say. Anyway.
If you've ever hit your sciatic nerve, it's not something you fake.
No,
that is definitely a stinger.
You think it's going to go away after a couple of minutes. And then if you get hit again in the exact same spot, you lay on the ground, bury your face into the grass, and scream like Ferguson did. Amazing. I was just amazed that people were thinking that he's faking it. Like, he doesn't even want to play. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah, so Dovbyk out for 2 months, and now Ferguson is out for how many days, weeks, months, periods? Do we know?
I think Dovbyk's out for 2 months.
Dovbyk's out for 2 months, but Ferguson is out for, I think, at least 2 weeks or something. Which means that we have only El Shaarawy and Dybala and Sola to play forward. And everyone's losing their minds. And everyone's like, Mazzarri is trash. What are you doing? Stop wasting time with Zirkzee. Raspadori is going to Atlanta. Ah, Mazzarri is trash. He should have secured it. It's like, how? did you want Mazzarri to fly to Madrid and take a gun, put it to Raspadori's ear hole and just be like, walk. You're going to Roma now. Make a decision. I don't know, man. I just don't get it. So, Raspadori, good that he didn't join or bad? Or indifferent?
I'm indifferent. I feel like there were better options on the table.
Are you being honest?
Yeah, I'm being honest. I feel like there are better options on the table. I didn't like the fact that he asked twice for extended time to think it over. Not a fan of that. There was something Walter Sabatini said. It's like, if Roma calls, you answer the call or you go somewhere else. So he put it on hold. Wasn't a fan of that.
You can't.
I understand why, though. He, like, Roma wanted to do a loan with an option, and he Roma didn't want to just, like, constantly move back. Like, I get that.
Yeah. So, he wanted to go somewhere for sure, and Roma was like, well, we cannot buy outright right now, and Atlanta was like, we can fucking purchase you right now. You're going to be at Atlanta for a long time. And he went to unite with Scamacca. They played together at Sassuolo, I believe. And yes. Why do I want to say Empoli? And I don't think either of them played at Empoli. No, Raspadori may have started. I don't know. So, do you think it's more likely that he just didn't want to move and wanted to go somewhere permanently? or that he went, wait a second, I just spent 2 years playing with Leonardo Spinazzola, who told me all about how Roma functions and why he went away from there. And also, I kind of know Cristante and Mancini and Pellegrini from the national team, and those guys don't seem nice and chill, and they don't seem like a good hang. So do I really want to go to Roma, where those three people run the whole locker room and Matic had to run away after publicly shaming them, kind of, in a way? Do you think, which one do you think is more likely?
I feel like he was asked. I feel like he asked around, because doesn't Juan Jesus play for Napoli too? Yeah. Yes. Like, there's a few ex-Roma players at Napoli, and I feel like, you know, I wouldn't say it's a toxic environment, because you could say any place is a toxic work environment, just as Real Madrid, but you could definitely get like an opinion of what it's like to play there. And I feel like it was mostly down to, like, he wanted certainty, and Roma couldn't give him certainty. And it's like, you have moved from Naples, and then you move out to Madrid for 6 months, and now you're coming back to Italy. It can get kind of frustrating. So you want definite certainty of where you're going to be. So I get it. I wish him all the best, unless he plays against Roma, and then OP has a 4.7 match rating and absolutely sucks ass. So.
Suck ass.
That's suck awesome. Ass Perini.
Duh. So. Okay. That's fine. I'm okay with that. And then United fire their coach.
Xerxes into the sun.
Amorim, who apparently came out and said, hey, either support me or fire me. And United board were like, well, that's a difficult choice. I don't think we can support you, so you're fired. Which was amazing, to me, honestly. So, yeah, I don't know. That's not fun for anybody. Especially not Roma, because we're waiting for Xerxes. And now we don't know if we're going to sign him or not. Doesn't look like we are, apparently. Or maybe it does. I don't know. Nobody knows.
I guess so he's awesome. Waiting for a meeting with Michael Carrick to happen.
Michael Carrick. Yeah, fair. Michele Carrick. And then you have... What do you have? You have Xabi Alonso fired. What the fuck was that?
That was a player revolt, mostly led by a player who thinks that they're too big for the club. I'm pretty sure. Like, having watched the statistics of like people who have left in the wake of Mbappe, like just sold or whatever, like I feel like thinks he's too big for the club, and he's like the next thing, because it's like Haaland versus Mbappe or whatever. So they're like hyping it up as like the next Messi versus Ronaldo.
Jesus.
But I don't know. Xabi Alonso is gone. I think he's front runner for the Liverpool job. So I know that you messaged me, it's like Klopp's going to Real Madrid. I don't think so. He had something he said something like if you had Xabi Alonso, who did wonderful things at Leverkusen, and he's gone after 6 months, something tells me there's something going on inside Real Madrid. So,
yeah.
I don't think he would be interested in that particular job.
Maybe. What we do know for sure is that now the Xerxes situation is complicated, and we get to Coppa Italia. Who else was fired? I forget. There was somebody else who was fired.
That was it for football managers. I know that you were asking about other people. because there's been a rash of NFL fires.
Really? Including the Steelers guy or whatever?
Yeah, Mike Tomlin, he didn't get fired. He stepped down because the Steelers organization does not fire anybody. Let's see. John Harbaugh got fired from the Ravens. I think the Giants fired their coach.
Ravens is such a weird name for...
There's like eight... I think there's like eight firings this year. I can't remember them all. So the whole AFC North lost their coach, except for the Cincinnati Bengals, who kept Zac Taylor, which is weird because I thought he would have been like the first one to go. Anyway,
they're like, nah, we're not gonna fire. We need some stability in this AFC, EFC, whatever, East. Anyway, Coppa Italia. Cristante is back starting, and yeah. Wait, Cristante started with Pasili, right? Yeah, I think so. And I don't know. Do we have to talk about this? Or just disaster, just absolute fucking disaster from Roma. No ideas. Nobody wanted to play. Everyone was absolutely horrible. Wesley was horrible. Nobody was showing up whatsoever. There's just like. It's just Groundhog Day, but complaining about things. I may as well just yell Pellegrini Cristante's name, even though Pellegrini didn't play, but whatever. Sorry about the sounds. My kid is just going insane right now. So what happens is when everyone sucks, nobody looks good. So people were thinking that Pasili also looked terrible and is justified why he's not starting. And this is what pissed me off, actually. Because, again, I don't know how difficult this is to see. We have four midfielders, right? One of them is not playing because he's an AFCON. So why is it so fucking difficult to notice that we have one midfielder who's passing the ball forward and then one midfielder who is just a turnover machine? There was a stretch in the first half where Cristante, every single time he touched the ball, it would end up in Torino's possession. And then you have Pasili, who just keeps passing the ball forward or moving the ball forward. And I'm sorry, but the excuse that they have different tasks and different roles is fucking bullshit. That's just you saying that you don't know what fucking midfielder is supposed to do and you're trying to come up with excuses. They have the same fucking role. It's a midfield. You take the ball and you pass it to your teammate. That's it. Cristante does not move the ball forward. Pasili was literally the only reason why Roma was actually able to go forward and attack for the entire first half. Torino score, wonder goal, and yeah, I don't know. What do you do against those? Not really much else to say. I don't know. First half was blah, whatever. I would appreciate if my kid stopped trying to slam the table and break the table, but he's going insane. Sorry about that. And then the second half begins, and everyone is expecting some changes that make sense, and Gasperini just changes the defensive lineup. He took off Rensch, who also had a bad game, and he took off, I think, Zhukovsky. And Gilardi stayed, but Hermoso and Mancini came on. Wait, is it Gilardi that stayed? Yeah, it's Gilardi that stayed. And, wait. Now I'm confused. I'm too sleepy for this. I don't know who stayed to play against Torino. Either way...
Zhukovsky was subbed off in the 46th minute for Ndika.
Yeah. Ndika came back to play from AFCON.
Hermoso came for Rensch in the 46th minute.
Yeah. And immediately we score a goal and everyone was like, oh my god, Hermoso is just amazing, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, did you not fucking see the pass that Pasili had for Bailey? It's a forward pass that puts Bailey into two options. Shoot or keep going forward with the ball. Like, he passed it to Hermoso, who made a fantastic run. But 100%, if you rewatch that goal, pause it and think, what would Cristante do in this situation? And you see seven Roma players in our half, and then only two players are in their half, and you're like, your brain, it will just immediately portray the picture of Cristante backpassing or Kone backpassing. There is no way that ball goes forward. And people are still saying, oh, I don't know what Pisilio does on this team. He isn't backpassing. He's not Jesus. He's not Messiah. He's not the second coming of Xavi or Iniesta. He is just not backpassing the ball. He's actually pushing it forward. That is it. It's not special. It's just that how bad our other two midfielders are. They're horrid. I hate this so much. I hate that this is fine for Gasperini. I hate that he's fine with mediocrity. I absolutely fucking hate it. It's not even mediocrity. It's just terrible. Absolutely terrible. Anyway, yeah. Torino make a mistake. Pisilio gets the ball, pushes it forward to Bailey, puts him in a position. Bailey passes to Hermoso, who for some fucking reason played striker this game, or at least in that possession, and just scored a fantastic goal. I could see Ferguson scoring that and making that play. Can you see Dovbyk doing that?
You know, the best part about the Hermoso goal was the nutmeg.
Yeah. It's like, how can... Is he going to play striker? What's happening? Do we need Xerxe?
No, Xerxe, no problem.
Hermoso turns 32, I think, or 33. Which sounds old, that's... but I'm that age, so...
Yeah, that's way past his prime. Washed. Absolutely.
Horrible. Retire him. Shoot him in the head.
Yeah. I forget if he was the one... Was it him, or was it Hummus, who was the DDR fire? I think it was Hermoso. Anyway.
What?
My thoughts for the...
Wasn't he brought in very late in the summer because
he was
no other offers or something like that?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
So maybe it was him, because like I think he was one of the ones who was shelved for the Juric, and I think he had a renaissance under Ranieri.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, like this lineup that Gasperini threw out for the Coppa Italia, it feels like it's one of those, I wouldn't say shoestring lineups, where it's like, well, we're essentially stretched thin, so give it all. But, like, I don't know, something about this lineup felt off. Like, you had Dybala and Kone and Indica and Hermoso on the bench. Like, I feel like those are four of your starters. So
we had nobody to finish anything up front. We had nobody to actually take the balls and do something up front. Like, Bailey was trying to play well. Wait.
Yeah, like bounce for Bailey.
I'm still confused. I'm picturing like seven different games at the same time.
I'm absolutely picturing Bailey.
No. Right. Actually, that's correct. Kone came on for Pisilio. I was like, did Pisilio even start the game? Yeah, he did. Kone came on for Pisilio, which was where I got completely pissed off, because we watched Cristante turnover after turnover after turnover. Just bad passes, just bad playing, horrific. The commentator is just like, ah, here comes Cristante with another failure. Like, what exactly is he offering? The commentator is talking about Cristante being dog shit. Everyone watching the game is like, Cristante is absolutely horrible. And Gasperini is like, Kone for Pisilio. Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, it was the like 23 or 25 dispossessions.
Yeah. The moment Pisilio came off, our midfield not only stopped existing, the way the ball moved was pass back to our central defenders, and then they would get stuck in a corner, and then they would have to heat the ball forward, and then it's Torino ball. We completely got dismantled. Like, Torino wasn't even playing their starters. They, like, introduced Cazadei later on in the game. Their kids, who never fucking started a game, just destroyed our midfield of expensive Kone and insane loyalist Cristante and whatever the fuck, great soldier on the pitch and captain of the team. Seriously, the more I fucking remember this game, the more I think this is the worst like captain we've ever fucking had. I hate watching this dude play. I hate the fact that this is supposed to be our captain, the staple of this fucking team, that is just completely getting dominated and destroyed every single fucking game. Doesn't matter who he plays against. Our midfield is just non-existent. We don't look good. We look terrible. We just look awful whenever he plays. I fucking hate him so much. Disaster player. Absolute fucking disaster player. And notice how no coach that ever leaves Roma is ever asking to bring Cristante or Pellegrini. Ever. None of them.
But yeah, it's funny because De Rossi is De Rossi's after Baldanzi. I think that's done. Loan with option to buy.
But he also wants to bring El Shaarawy to Genoa, and he wants to bring...
That's in July.
Yeah. Who was it? I forgot. They want to bring somebody else as well. They're like, fuck it, we'll bring all of the Roma crap. And then no Pellegrini, no Cristante, of course. Nobody wants them. And we're half of our fan base is like, they're the most important players for us. Can't wait to see what Roma looks like with them on the pitch again. I don't, but you'll see it on Sunday. Yeah, bipolar Roma strikes again. And there are theories that Gasperini threw this Coppa because he wanted to get out ASAP because he doesn't want to compete on three fronts. Thoughts? Do you agree with that? Do you like that idea?
I felt like the lineup was kind of, like I said, kind of suspicious. You have four starters on the bench. Yeah, I felt like the lineup was kind of suspicious. It felt like he gave some of the youth more playing time, which is kind of weird because we've only really seen youth performing on a Gasperini team when he's entirely out of options. So maybe he was using it as like, but okay, here's your playing time.
Leaving Dybala on the bench... Is that really throwing the game anymore? Because
no, like I said, there's four starter. Okay, then why did he say that he would choose Dybala like to play the full 90 or whatever a couple of weeks ago? He was like, I don't want Ferguson. I'd rather take Dybala. So
Dybala's not good.
Well, I would think that, like, we have our opinions. I think that he is either needs to reduce his wages or he needs to. Either reduce his wages and stay, or he needs to go somewhere else. But I think that Dybala is still useful as a sub. But you still had Kone and Ndika, and who else was the other name I mentioned that was on the bench? Like, there's three starters on the bench. Hermoso, yeah. Ndika, and Kone. If you're gonna exclude Dybala. So you got like two defenders. Like, I feel like they would have done a better job defending, especially against like the first goal. But it's whatever.
The first goal.
I feel like it's whatever. I feel like the lineup was a little suspect. I was kind of curious. But it's whatever. I can see why people would say that he was trying to throw the Coppa Italia match. It's like, I don't know. It's a defeatist attitude. People were like, well, if we won, we would have got throttled against Inter. And it's like the option is to like continue and play your hardest. You've been defeated against Torino. I forget who it was last year. I feel like there was a Fiorentina one where we got throttled 6-1 a couple of years ago. You've lost to, I think it was Venezia and Cremonese. It's just not a good look. So,
didn't we lose to Milan in Coppa Italia last year? Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you don't build winners by losing. It's just that's not how you do. I'm a longtime fan of the Celtics when they were supposed to rebuild when they shipped off KG and Paul Pierce. I thought that was amazing that their strategy is just like they hired Brad Stevens, who had one condition only, that he doesn't tank, and their strategy was never to tank. Like, he was going to win all the games. Danny Ainge, however, was like, I'm going to trade anything I can to get some sort of value. Like, if a player has a good game, a good quarter, I'm trading him. Like, we are not going to have good players. And Brad Stevens was like, all right, I'm just going to keep trying to win the games. And he kept trying to win games. That is how you build winners. Look at the Detroit Pistons now. Like, everyone was laughing at them a couple years ago when they were like 19 and 63 or whatever the fuck their score was. And I'm like, of those 60 losses, they had about 40 of them by like 2 points. Like, they are so hard to beat. They're so fucking hard to beat. They lose every single game on just lack of experience. Look at them now. They're like, what, first in the East or second in the East? I don't know. I forget. But so, that's how you build winners. You don't build winners by just losing games on purpose until you're ready. What the fuck is that? Grow. Be ready. Play better. Lose until you win. Like, how else do you... It's like saying that you're not gonna... That you're gonna improve yourself by never trying anything, because if you try, you'll fail. That is so dumb. So fucking dumb. Pistons are first in the East, by the way.
So, like, let's just go back to the 2019-2020 Copa. Lost the quarterfinals to Juventus. Lost in the round of 16 the next season to Spezia. Lost the quarterfinals to Inter. Lost quarterfinals to Cremonese 22-23. Lost the quarterfinals to Lazio 23-24. Lost quarterfinals to Milan last year and then got bounced out to Torino this year. So, like, Roma used to be... I think Roma has the second most Coppa Italia wins.
Yes.
Like, there is a good history for Roma in the Coppa Italia. Why don't you want to go back to that? Like, not you, but, like, just people in general. They're like, oh, it would have been a loss to Inter. It's still better than getting bounced out to freaking Torino of all teams, who are on, like, I think it was, like, a 3 or 6 game, like... no positive result.
You know what's funny? If I'm pretty sure, not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that if Roma, if you win double digits of Coppa Italia's, you get
a special patch.
Yeah, a special patch. Roma is at 9.
Right. Like, why don't you just try and get that over the hump?
Just put in a small competition. You know how we won the Conference League and everyone was like, holy fucking shit, we won the Conference League, we're back, Jose's back, everybody's back. That is because you think that you're going to build on that. So go all in on fucking Coppa Italia. Stop talking about the Champions League when you're not going to go into the Champions League. You're just not. You're not going to qualify because you're starting Cristante and Pellegrini once again for 8 years in a row. So go, forget Europa League. Go all in on fucking Coppa Italia. Get ready, get prepared, study players. Just do whatever it takes to get the thing and just be like, look, we won the second most important trophy in Italy. Or second most important trophy of the season. It's actually not. It's like third most important. But fuck it, whatever. You won a trophy. It's basically Champions League, Serie A, Europa League, Coppa Italia, Conference League. So, like, of the 5 trophies, you win the 4th most important one. You already have the 5th most important one. So, build it up. Build it up a little bit. So, next year, maybe you might actually be considered a Europa League contender, like we are every single year, and then we lose in the semifinals. Try something different. Like, try to win something. Try to assert yourself as winners. Try to instill the winning mentality into your players. Something. Don't tell me that you're happy losing because you don't have to play at a tournament anymore. It's just so fucking dumb. I hate it. Absolutely hate it. And I feel like the players wanted to win. I don't think the coach wanted to win. People are saying that he was smirking in the press conference and that he was just answering with weird questions and he was like, weird answers. And he was like, ah, yeah, the boys gave it all. We played good. The stupidest thing I've read is that basically Gasperini said we played well in the first half and then in the second we fell apart. Why do you think that? Why do you think we played in the first half and then fell apart in the second half? Gee, let's see who is the first substitution you fucking made. Is it the defenders? No. Unless you're saying that Zhukovsky is way better than Dika and Hermoso. So what is the other things that you've changed? You put in Kone for Pisili. Kone Cristante midfield cannot function. And when Pisili is the one half of the midfielders, you're taking out the only player who's moving the ball forward. Why don't you get four mid? Why don't you insist as a coach on like four midfielders? How is this kind of system on strikers when you have no midfield? I'm getting depressed again. I'm just going through stages of grief at this point. So yeah, whatever. Antonio Arena scores his first goal on
the first touch.
Pro debut on the first touch with a spectacular header. And I have a take that's not going to be popular, so please go on.
I want to hear your take.
I've been ranting for a while, so what do you think? How did you like him? Did he look good?
Rocky, mate, I legit cried there when he scored his goal.
Crikey.
You want to see an edit? This is an edit.
What is this Australian? Why is it so good? How are you so good with Australian accent?
I spent a lot of time sure at the Outback Steakhouse getting a blooming onion.
I feel like Australians would just be like, "You don't sound Australian at all." No, it's kind of like when I was playing games with my group of British friends. I didn't speak like this. I was trying to be like British neutral, kind of, but it rubs off on you, right? So you start speaking more British accent, and everyone I talked to that wasn't in that group of friends was just like, "Oh my god, are you British? You sound British." I'm like, no, I just play games with them. And then like, if you ask them, they're like, "You don't sound British at all. That sounds horrible. It's some cringe, weird mix. Like you're trying to sound English, but you're really not. It sounds horrible." And like, only you can tell that. Every other stranger or foreigner is just like, "You sound so British, dude." No, I don't.
Well, it's funny because when my time that I went to the Netherlands, I said I was on vacation. They're like, "Oh, you're from England?" I was like, "New England." "Oh, you're American." I never would have guessed. I'm like, "Oh, I don't know if you're being sarcastic, because the Dutch are usually direct, but sure." And yeah,
you don't sound like you're from England.
Not at all.
Not one bit. You sound like you're from New England. Yeah. Antonio Arena scores a goal. How did you like his other chances and anything of note? What do you think? Give me your.
He had one where the announcer, kind of the commentator for CBS, kind of like summed it up. He probably had more time than he thought he did, and he got nervous and shot. But he had way more time. I really liked it. After he scored the goal, I was like, "I'm just going to follow him around and just see what he does." And like, he was getting in positions like where he thought he could score, which is really good. You could really tell that he had a lot of nerves. So, props for the kid. He's freaking 16 years old and scoring in his debut. You know, that's like every kid's dream. But yeah, kid had a lot of nerves. I thought that it was going to go to penalties. But I think that he has a bunch of potential. I know the last couple of people that we thought had potential, how that went. Christian Volpato now plays for Sassuolo. I don't know where Felix Afinagian is. I think he's still in Syria. I don't know. But the last couple people... who's that other one? Dahl. Samuel Dahl is at Benfica. And there was somebody else that went to Benfica that everybody was like, "Why did we let him go?" It's like,
I think, yeah, wasn't that Samuel Dahl?
No, you know who I'm talking about. Shoot.
He had Benjamin Tohirovic.
Is Tohirovic? No.
He went to Ajax and he was like undisputed starter, and then Ajax were almost relegated. Like, that's why.
Yeah.
He thought this kid is the future.
It's funny because I got a Benjamin Tohirovic jersey when I went to I went, and people like, you really want him? I'm like, yeah. They're like, why? I'm like, because I'm a Roma fan. They're like, oh, you're not welcome in the Ajax store anymore.
Oh, you're a Roma fan? And you went to Tohirovic?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Well, it was really? Also funny because in the same store, like, my dad didn't know. And we'd gone to the PSV store a couple days before, and I got my dad this really nice winter coat, and he was wearing it. And the guy's like, hey, sir, I'll exchange that coat for free, and you can put that one in the trash. And my dad had no idea what was going on. They were gonna give him an Ajax coat. I'm like, nah. He's like, nah, my son got this for me. And he points over to me. I'm like, I'm trying to buy a jersey. Leave me alone.
Awesome.
Anyway, yeah. Oh, was it like? It was like Joao Felix? No. That doesn't sound right. Joao Costa,
yeah. Didn't he go to like Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, he went somewhere, but I guess he was like the next... he was the next guy too.
Yeah, I don't know what you mean. He was going to be the prodigy, but then somebody on our team was just like, no, he's fucking not a prodigy. It turned out to be true. So,
That's why we signed him from Corinthians under 20 team in 21 and then kept him up. Anyway, no, I think Antonio Arena will do good. I think he'll be fine. But
so I don't. Yes, sir, go on.
I was going to just say on to the next bit of business, because now that we're out of Coppa Italia, we have to face somebody who we haven't seen in a long time with Torino.
But I don't want to not talk about Coppa Italia anymore.
Oh, okay. Keep talking about it then.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, I wanted to tell you that I don't like how we played. No, seriously, look, I think this kid is fine, and I think he's going to be fine. I think he could have scored two more goals. First, he was one-on-one with the defender, and then he yeets the ball, and the ball just does not land near the goal. That is absolutely horrible. That shot was one of the worst shots I've ever seen from a striker, and I've lived through some terrifying strikers. Jesus, Julio Bautista. So I don't know. That's not promising. I know that Roma fans want to hear that he's going to be the next best thing, that they love him and shit. Especially scoring on your first touch and on the debut is just, you know, insane, mind blowing shit. But I just don't think that he's that good yet. And for a 16-year-old, I think the only reason why he played was his height, nothing else. He's just tall for a 16-year-old. That's literally it. I'm not sure he's going to have a Serie A career, but he might be playing somewhere like Austria or Switzerland or Netherlands. The one thing that he has, I feel like, is a saving grace, that it's attitude and instincts. I don't know his attitude yet, and that's where his potential lies. If he shows fantastic attitude, he might actually overcome any issues and problems. Second thing is instincts. The goal he scored, fantastic instinct. The other chance that he had, that he almost scored as well. Celik is a fucking donkey. Why would you yeet a rocket 3 feet away from you? What, do you just pass the fucking ball? Ah, still angry about that. I defended Celik for years. That was the worst thing I've ever seen from him. The last two games, he was atrocious. Absolutely fucking atrocious. Until he actually made us score twice against Sassuolo. So fantastic movement by the young Arena. I think he has the striking instincts, the striker instincts for movement, which Dovbik does as well. So take that from what you will. Doesn't always guarantee good stuff. But for a 16-year-old to be able to smash the ball that well, I guess it kind of shows his physicality is kind of almost there at like 80%, 90% of what it's supposed to be. You know, the floor, the minimum. So he definitely has potential, but his decision-making is sus. And I doubt if he has fundamentals or not. So I don't know. We'll see, I guess. He's got a lot of time to develop. I see this as a miracle, as something nice that happened, memorable moment, whatever. That is not an indication of absolutely anything. But again, it's also one of those moments where I just have no fucking clue because Gasperini sees him in training and we don't. Like, we do not have enough. If Gasperini plays him again, like two or three times this season, then I would be okay with thinking like there is something to this kid because Gasperini sees it in training. But otherwise, I don't think he's going to get a lot of time. I think this was just because we had no other options and we needed something. And he was like, fuck it. Which, once again, is exactly what Jose Mourinho did. that's a Jose move. Come on, kid, get in, do something. I trusted you, but instead it's just a message to other players that they suck and he doesn't like them. Yeah.
Anyway, on to the latest news with Robinho Faz is now a new Roma player. Do you know anything about Robinho Faz?
Don't you dare. Don't you dare. I have one last thing I want to ask about the Torino game. Which of the three goals was savable?
Which of the three goals was savable? Probably yes. The third one was savable. Like, it spills out in front of him and he just kind of pushes it away, and then the Torino player just throttles it home. It's like you kind of got to jump on that a little bit more than that.
Interesting. Well, I don't agree with that at all, but everyone sees
this. That's your opinion. Your opinion's wrong.
Yeah. Everyone sees this one differently, so it's, yeah, whatever. I think none of the goals were savable. Like, the second one was just the luckiest shot I've seen in a while because Sviler has no way of getting to that ball. Just his positioning was great, but he got a touch on it. There was just no way to get in the ball. And it looks easy, but the way it was placed was just absolutely perfect between Sviler's head and arm. He cannot close down on it with the lower arm, with the higher arm. He cannot get to it with his head, just nothing. There is nothing he can do. Third goal, defense just awful. I don't like how I just don't like zone defense. I feel like zone defense is stupid. You need to man mark. You have to have like one or two CPs doing zone defense and then everybody else man marks. I don't like the fact that we had seven players in the box just standing there providing a wall, and still Torino's tiny fucking kids who are all below 6 feet managed to outjump them and outwork them and get to the ball and shit. It's like, what are you doing? Why are you putting Sirlet in a position where he has to intervene twice? And the first goal was just like, I don't know, a fantastic place shot. Just one in a thousand. We signed Robinho Faz, which is... I keep saying, I think he's gone for 75 million next year. I don't think he's going to score more than three goals next season. I don't think he's going to play this season at all. But he just moves different. He has something about himself that all teams in Europe are just going to look at him and just be like, holy shit, this kid is it. This is how Mbappe looked like. This is what Vinicius Jr. looked like. This is it. And I think that's why we paid 25 million for him. Do you agree with that?
I would say that he, coming from Olympique Marseille, he was one of the best talents, prospects that Marseille had. kid's incredibly raw. I think that I've told you, I've told Chiesa, I've told Reddit, I've told whoever will listen. I really think that his pace mixed with like a Wesley or even a midfield Pasili would, or even like Sule would just unlock this kid and have him score goals left, right, and center. I think he has the pace. In his interview that he gave yesterday, they asked, like, what do you think your strengths are? And he said, my quickness and my aerial duels. And aerial duels is, like, something that we need to win. We have two kind of towering people with Dovbik and Ferguson, and they just haven't really been doing it. So I think that would be a good thing for Voss to do. Win duels. That counterattack
is amazing. It's mesmerizing how fast he is with and without the ball.
I want to know. I know there's ways to find out, and I don't have access to them. But find out like what his top speed is. Like, remember that goal that Milan scored with the Rafael Leao counterattack to who was that, Pavlovic?
And, yeah.
Like. Leao just absolutely one-on-one, like, he left Celik in the dust. And it's like, what do you do now? And so I wonder if Voss has that kind of speed and that pace that could rival Rafa Leao. That I think would be kind of interesting to see if he could do that. And the kid's only, what, 18? So, you know, he's going to develop, come into his prime. I don't know if he'll be featured, I guess. The comments that have been coming out in the media, I guess Gasperini's not thrilled to have him, which I feel is kind of a slap in the face. If your coach is like, I don't want you, but it could be worse. It could be Sadi, where he had comments about his striker. I don't watch the Austrian league, so I don't even know the guy. So
I don't like Gasperini's comments in that at all. I guess we'll get to that later. I think you're right that he's incredibly raw and has a lot of room to grow. He will need a lot of space to grow as well. He will need a lot of play time, but I think we're going to have him for 18 months only. The positive thing is that no Marseille fan said anything bad about him. Like, none of them did. Absolutely nobody is like, yeah, this kid is stupid. He doesn't have his head on his shoulders. He's nothing. Not a single bad thing was said about Rubinho Voss. No, like, oh, he's selfish or he thinks he's something else. Like, nothing. Not a single thing. Everyone was just like, fuck. I guess it makes sense. From what I read and from what I learned, he left because he wasn't guaranteed playing time because De Zerbi wants him to develop some more. And his agent and Rubinho Voss were pushing for like renegotiations and higher salary, guarantee that he's going to start and all that shit. And what do you call him? Roberto De Zerbi, the coach, was just like, I'm sorry, are you using me to develop you so that you could go to a bigger team? Yeah, we don't play players here so that they could go to bigger teams. I'm sorry, goodbye, I'm not going to play you. And Marseille were just like, I guess we sell him. Why not make 25 million profit minus 250,000 that they paid for him? Also, shout out to the person who challenged Biafara's report about Rubinho Voss's salary at Marseille, because Biafara tweeted his salary is 100,000 euros a year. And the guy was like, that is wrong. Wait, no. Yeah, true. The guy was like, that is wrong, Biafra, you're lying to people. His salary is 10,000 euros a month. And Biafra is like, and how much is that on an annual level? And the guy's like, oh yeah, true, I'm sorry. Can you think for a second? Anyway, Gasperini said in the press conference that Roma needs to figure out what we are doing right now. If the project is long-term kids development or short-term success, which is fine comment on 20th of June of the season. That is not a fine comment to say in fucking January, because If I'm the owner, I read the statement and I call him and the director of sport in the office and say, okay, which one of you is going to resign because it's January and they just admitted that you don't know what you're doing with my club. Which one of you is at fault for this? And then that person you basically tell them, like, look, you're going to resign right now because this is gross negligence and you just don't have a fucking clue what you're doing. If they refuse, you're like, all right, I'm going to fire you. I'm going to take out all the dirty laundry into the media, and you are not going to survive this because you just said that you don't know what you're doing in January of the season. One of you has to be fired for this. That is not a strategy you can discuss in January. I got genuinely angry reading that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand why Gasperini came to Roma if he refuses to develop any youth. That was his bread and butter his entire career. But yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he was promised that the team would give him what he wants, and maybe he wants more developed players. But, like, to me, I would rather whiff on a 20 million has been 20 million what if than a 20 million has been. Yeah. Like, we've had, and I know these are going to be some bad examples because they were serviceable, but we've had like Spinazzola and Chris Smalling and Mkhitaryan and Juan Jesus and Federico Fassio and others, people, Raja Nainggolan, come through, and like the bag is mixed in that category, and it's like you have the Javier Pastores and the David Santons and the Insonsis in there too. It's like, I'd rather spend money, and I've told this in previous podcasts, I think it was the 2018-19 Ajax squad that, like, you're like, who are these guys? It's just a bunch of youth players, and they were absolutely dominating. It's like, that's what I want Roma to be, is like sustainable growth, that you have all these players come in and you have these youth players and they're developing, and like, if you have to sell some, whatever, but you keep the costs down. You, like, that's how you get financial fair play obligations out of the way. You gotta take a risk on these youth players and develop them and make them work. I'd rather have them than people like in the prime and out of the prime on the back half of their prime for players.
Are we gonna talk about this?
What?
Good point. I don't like that you made a good point. So, what's his face? Friedkins, I'm sorry, I'm sleepy. Haven't slept well. The Friedkins actually didn't hire any proper management. They don't have a proper developed system. They don't have a DS with a vision, director of sport or direttore sportivo, sports director in APL. They don't have a GM like Pinto was. They don't have a CEO who can bridge the football with club's vision and the financial part at the same time. They have no direction. So the only direction they have is hire a very strong name as a coach who's going to be the manager and everything, like a bit of everything, and then he's going to dictate where the club goes for a couple of years, which is ridiculous. We tried that with Jose, and it's not working, and it's horrible. Now everybody's attacking Masada because no Roma fan wants to just come out and be like, I want Gasperini gone. You don't. You don't want the coach gone. I do, because I'm stupid. But you don't want the coach gone. You don't want to change coaches yet again. And you don't want to restart the project yet again. The problem is that we don't restart the project that's not working. Like, we keep reloading or retooling the project that's not working. Why? It's not working. Why do we keep retooling it? What is the purpose of that? So, they didn't have a vision, as you said. They don't have this Borussia Dortmund or Leipzig or Red Bull Salzburg system where they know exactly what type of players they're going for and what they're going to do with them and how they're going to replace them. Atalanta was literally the greatest factor of football for a couple of years because they would bring in exact type of players that Gasperini wanted to play, exact type of football that Gasperini wanted to play and was accustomed to. And then they would sell them and Gasperini would just be like, yeah, that was fool's gold, by the way. That guy is not responsible for our success. And also I can replace him with like three other kids that we have. And okay, he came to Roma to get better players, to get so that he doesn't have to do that. And people say that he kept losing his best players at Atalanta. He wasn't. Frank Cassi was nice, but he would never really regain his Atalanta form. Scamacca is not irreplaceable. Duan Zapata is not irreplaceable. Like, none of those players are irreplaceable. It's just Gasperini made them. The system that they had made them into good players. And Roma doesn't have that. Roma doesn't have an inclination of that. We just have no foundation. Our whole system is Ryan Friedkin hires people to translate for him as he hires a huge name and an overpaid coach to just make the team better. And they come in and they're like, well, I guess you guys have been here for 7 years. You're starting? I said, I don't know. I guess. Who else? Like, you guys are reliable. So I really would be happy if the Friedkin sold the club. I don't think they're bad owners at all. I think they're amazing because they keep sinking money into Roma. And I am just not happy with where the club is going and what direction it's taking. It just does not feel like it's going in a good way. And I don't think anything good is going to happen from them being owners because there is no future. There is just crapshoot. There is throwing money at a problem to fix it, and we don't have that much money to throw. Like, Roma is not a club that's going to throw a crap load of money at a problem like City, like PSG, like Man United, and just solve the problem. We do the same thing that United does. We throw money at it and then wonder what happened, and then next year we throw even more money at it, and then next year we throw... It's like, come on. I got hiccup attack. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Massaro is doing. I don't know what Gasperini is doing. I don't know. I have a feeling that Massaro is trying to do stuff. I don't trust Gasperini at all. I don't trust anything he says. It just sounds weird.
Roma wants to reach the top, and they'll know we can't go crazy in the first two transfer windows. Whoever comes need to know these things. I'll tell them what we expect, what we'll have to support and help the new coach. If I stayed on as coach, we'd lose the year. I'm not the future of Roma. Whoever comes has to be the future of Roma.
Ranieri on the introductory press conference with Gasperini. No, before Gasperini.
Not, it was before.
Yeah. Like he told us that this year is going to be a wash. So why is Gasperini acting like we are letting him down? That's the same thing Jose Mourinho was doing. Dude, you know the situation. You know that we don't have money to support any high purchases. You know, even if we had money, it's the FFP. Like, we literally need to sell half of the team for FFP next season. They know that. They told him this before he arrived. And he's like, nah, fuck it. I don't know. It's just annoying. I just don't like how he's behaving. And people hated his smugness and shit like that. Like, I don't care if he's smug on the pitch, if he's acting, whatever he's acting. I just don't like this, that he's playing a fool while trying to somehow make people do stuff for him. It's like, that's not going to work. We can't. I don't like the fact that he's blaming Massaro and asking Massaro to do his job. Meanwhile, it's very clear that Gasperini was the one pushing for Sancho the entire summer. It's just stupid. Ridiculously stupid.
Atrocious. It's hilarious because we're like, he's like, I want Sancho. And they're like, well, here's Sancho's replacement of Borussia. Hmm. And we're going to get Daniel Malin.
Daniel Malin arrives to Roma on a weird transfer where Atletico Madrid were ready to steal him with a private jet. They wanted to do a Malcolm. And
no, they didn't want to do a Malcolm. They wanted to do a Malin.
A Malin. Mullet. Mullet. And yeah. So again, a transfer where all Aston Villa fans are like, fuck, why did we do this? Why are we losing this guy? Nobody was like, ah, he's injured too much. Like, this is the same people that came out and said, enjoy Bailey and his 30% too long recovery times and getting injured 7 times a season, where he basically plays once a year. Haha, enjoy him. He's great when he has that one good game a season, which turned out to be true. And this is just, they were just like, yeah, this sucks. Why are we losing Mullen? I guess it's FFP. It's interesting that we got him and they didn't want to lose him. I don't know. I like the signing. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I think that's, I think, what was it? It was like Voss has a goal contribution every like 94 minutes and Malin has a goal contribution every 120 minutes or something like that. So I think that would be good positive to have on the team. Two people who are pacey, capable of scoring. Both teams that we have received the players from, both teams are kind of, their fans are kind of disappointed to see him go. So this is definitely a change in pace, because like you said, normally it's like, have fun. They were nothing but miserable for us. It's like, why are we picking over people's scraps? And like, even their fans are like, thank God you're getting them off our books. So,
well, now it's time for the last segment, which would be, do we sign Xerxes or not? What do you think?
Nope. Have a good day.
I think we do.
I really think we do. I will put a crisp Roma shirt on that.
Do you think we can... I don't know. These signings are weird. I think we need to get rid of... we need to sell Ndika and Kone and potentially Sfilet in the summer. I think two or three of those guys will be gone. So that's not fun. However, what's the next game?
Next game, Torino. I think that's Sunday.
Yeah, it's a Sunday. It's 6 p.m. European time.
Zone 4-7 is back just in time for that game. And Verona and Bologna are playing for match day 16, and Como and Milan are playing today. So
I really don't want to see either of them play.
It would be nice. I would really, really appreciate it if Milan lost, because some of their fans have been chirping a bunch of shit. It'd be nice to see them put in their place.
Yeah.
A draw would be nice.
Good luck to them. I hope they draw. I just don't want to play against Torino again.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I feel like everyone who thinks that we're gonna beat them and it's fine that we didn't win in Coppa Italia. I don't like that. I just don't. I don't think we're gonna beat them. I think we're just gonna lose again. So, whatever. Hopefully I'm wrong. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Bipolar Roma. Wait, Roma Happens podcast. Let's see what happens next week. We got two games next week, so we're going to be recording probably before the game on the next weekend. And that's it. I don't like that I'm signing off on low energy. Something.
Spotify goes. And RSS and only Cristantes and wherever you get your... It's your Roma Happens.
We should start an OnlyFans where for like $5 people can get us to say that we love Cristante. One time, feel me rain. So feel me rain. Black rain. Black rain. Citizen Kane. Talking black rain. Black rain. Black rain. Peace to the end.
the game, black rain. Black rain. Through the struggles and the strain, black rain. Black rain. Elements of mind. Elements of mind. So feel the rain from behind, black rain. Black rain. Peace through the in the game, black rain. Black rain. Through the struggles and the strain, black rain.